Well, I appreciate those that monitor the security cameras back there and take turns every week. And if you don't know, we got 4 outside cameras that monitor what's going on outside so we can help prevent anything from coming inside. And we appreciate all those that do that. And Morgan, we appreciate you for doing the sound and recording and things like that. And John does it some, and you, and appreciate that. Take your Bible. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 5. We're looking at the wrath of the Lamb, part 2. The church has been raptured back in chapter 4. We've gone through the church age in chapter 2 and 3. And after these things, John was caught up. And we have what's called the church around the throne of God in Revelation 4 and 5. So there we are, raptured, rewarded, already received our crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says that we are not appointed to the wrath of the day of the Lord. So we believe firmly in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And now Jesus has taken the 7-seal book, title deed to the earth, takes it out of the Father's hand and begins to open the seals. 7-seal judgments, find in chapter 6. That'll be followed by 7 trumpet judgments in chapters 8 and 9 and 7 bowl judgments in chapter 16. So Christ opens the scroll and judgment falls. The earth is being purged for the millennial kingdom and the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period. Judgment upon Israel for the rejecting Christ and crucifying the Messiah. And so God is about to turn this old sinful world of mankind back to the way it needs to be and take it away from the usurper, Satan, who is the god of this world, little g, only for a period of time. Now, last week we looked at the first seal, false peace, in verses 1 and 2. Rider on the white horse, not Christ. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 is Christ when he returns again at the Battle of Armageddon. But this one is the Antichrist, who comes with a bow but no arrow. He comes, you know, weaseling his way in, conquering, and later on will reveal who he is. And then there'll be more wars. So we see a false peace in 1 and 2, that the Antichrist who comes on the scene will manipulate Israel into signing this peace pact, because all the nations of the world will be against Israel, America too, regardless of what little respite we have now with Donald Trump. Eventually America will be against Israel. And then we have the second seal, which is war. In verses 3 and 4, these are personified by 4 horsemen. First one, as you see in verses 1 and 2, a white horse, he that sat upon him. And then you see in verse 3 and 4, the second beast, and he had a, that was red. Red symbolizing death. And so there'll be great death upon the face of the earth, and we'll talk about that a little bit further. But then see the third seal in verses 5 and 6. Let's note that. I don't know how far we'll go tonight. I'll give you a break. Verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Speaking of rations during the reign of the Antichrist after the church is gone. Of course, we know that later we speak of the mark of the beast. If you're left behind at the rapture and you take the mark of the beast, you've doomed your soul to eternal hell. So be many who are not appointed to that, who will not take the mark of the beast. So it speaks of rationing. And you see that today, don't you? Socialism, right? Thinning out everything, what everybody has, and use everybody's money. I don't know what they'll do after that, but and so it says in verse 5, balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now let's stop right there. We look here tonight at the third seal, famine. This rider is on a black horse. Black speaks of famine. After war comes famine, right? And famine follows war as the food source is destroyed and those who provide food are killed. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I know it's all prophecy, but we love the American farmer, right? And it's coming today, though. But this right here on this third seal speaks of Matthew 24, verse 7, what's going to happen. Remember the parallel between Matthew 24 and the seven seals there in Revelation chapter 6? And famine is used by God like earthquakes. Famine is used by God as a type of judgment. You see that in Ezekiel 4, 16 and 17, and verse 5, verse 16. So famine, breaking down borders, right, is all part of God's judgment. God is judging America, and the church is asleep and don't understand what's happening. Now notice in verse 5 and 6, this writer has a pair of scales. This picture is rationing. A measure or a quart of wheat is barely enough to sustain a person for a day, and it will cost a day's wages or a penny or denarius. And then he says three measures or three quarts of barley for a penny or denarius. A denarius would normally buy 10 quarts of wheat and 30 quarts of barley. But people will barely have enough to feed their families and themselves. And so they'll be pressured into taking the mark of the beast in order to survive. Do not harm the oil in the wine. You notice that in verse 6, that is often misunderstood. And they say, well, he's talking about black crude there. Don't harm the oil and the wine because people are going to be partying, right? Partying, right? But that's not what he's talking about. Oil and wine was good, stable food back in the Palestinian days. So this is what they used a lot. This was a staple that they used there. Here he speaks of olive oil and wine. Again, the context is famine. It's not crude oil, right? It's famine. The basic food staples will become luxuries. And luxuries will be in a short supply. But people will not be able to buy them at that time if you're left behind. Now notice the fourth seal, which is death. What follows famine is death. Look in verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice. Now when he had opened, this is not Satan. This is Christ opening these judgments, right? And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. This is not Clint Eastwood, right? And he said, I saw a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell, or the grave. You might want to put the word grave there, or Hades. It's not Gehenna. And followed with him. So death and the grave followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now, this fourth seal here, this rider on a pale horse, John MacArthur says that the word pale means ashen, or it's where we get our word chlorophyll or chlorine. It refers to a sickly, pale, yellow color. And this is the Grim Reaper, if you will. If there is such a thing as the Grim Reaper, he's right here. And this speaks of death, speaks of a corpse. And the end result of war and famine is death. People die. So Hades here speaks of the grave. There's going to be great death in the first part of the tribulation. Notice the rider has death and Hades, 8b. One-fourth of the earth's population is killed at this time. This is why people who say today we're in the tribulation, they don't understand. One-fourth of the earth has not been killed, right? Currently we have, I understood in the latest statistics, 7.6 billion people in the world. And if one-fourth of the earth's population right now was to die and be destroyed, that would mean in one little seal here, 1.9 billion people would die. Is God a God of love? Is God a God of wrath? Yes, both of them. But the time for mercy and grace is over. We're in the tribulation period. You want mercy and grace, you get it in the church age, right? And he's coming to judge. In Revelation 9:18, we have an additional one-third which are killed. So they would be killed in four ways: by the sword, of war, by hunger, famine, death, pestilence, disease, and natural disasters. You know, we have this thing today, people actually believe we're going to be able to cure this and cure that. No, it's going to be really prevalent during the tribulation period. And they'll even be killed by wild beasts. So these four horsemen, they're called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They all go together, one after another. And then we'll go to the fifth seal in just a moment here. But these terrible judgments are yet to come. And from the fifth to the seventh seal, they get worse as we go along in the tribulation period. We won't experience, but the world that didn't believe Jesus will. And they get even worse in the trumpet and the bowl judgments, all the way to an eternal hell. So we see the confusion today, don't we? All around us. Can you imagine what it's going to be like after the rapture, when the church is taken out, and the Holy Spirit indwelling the church is taken out, and the restrainer is taken out? Praise God also, too, for the thin blue line policemen. And we pray for them here. We support them. Everyone that I see, I let them know that we're praying for them here at Trinity. It's going to be a terrible time when God takes the restrainer away, the Holy Spirit and the church. It's going to be demons unleashed like never before. And I'm glad we're spared from it. Amen? Now look at the fifth seal, martyrdom, chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And we won't go through all of it right here. We'll probably stop it here. Look in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, we won't have time to get into verse 10. And are they questioning God? You know, what's going on there? We'll explain that next week. And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. God has an elect tribulation saints that are going to be martyred in the tribulation period. They're appointed to that already. And they're not questioning God. We'll talk about that next week. But I want you to notice verse 9. Notice the people here as we look at this. We're introduced to a group of people who are martyred tribulation saints. Not the church. The church has been taken out before the tribulation period. All the martyrs of all the church age. We're already out of here. These are people that are going to be martyred up to this point in the tribulation period, who did not take the mark of the beast. And they're going to give with their life because they said Jesus is Lord. And so we're introduced to a new group of people here, what theologians call martyred tribulation saints. So God's wrath gets more fierce and more fierce as we progress through these judgments. And this seal here shows the reaction. We see the reaction of those who are in heaven, who have already been martyred in the first part of the tribulation, their reaction to what's going on the earth. You see that? Look at the people, first of all. These are martyred tribulation saints in verse 9. Now, these are those killed during the first four seals. They are not the martyrs of the church age. The church has been raptured before the tribulation period. These are those that have refused the mark of the beast in the first part of the tribulation period. They are not the martyrs of the church age. They are those that are saved after the rapture who were slain for their witness. Now, notice, I want you to notice something in verse 9. This is where it helps to look up the Greek and the Greek tenses. Look in verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. By the way, not only do we know the tribulation saints there are there, but our loved ones now who have died ahead of us, they are under the altar. That's where they are. I won't call no names, but I may leave somebody out. but they're under the altar. They're not walking around with a glorified body. They haven't got that yet, right? And so they're under the altar. But these particular group here are the tribulation saints that were martyred. Now, these are those saved after the rapture who were slain for the witness. Now look at it again. I forgot what I was going to tell you. Look at it again in verse 9. Look at the last part. And for the testimony which they held. It's in the imperfect tense in the Greek. It means they were having this testimony. It's not past in the church age. They were having this testimony, right? And they were martyred. Now, next week we'll pick up. Well, let's go ahead and go a little further. The place of these people. Again, they're tribulation saints. And as soon as they are killed, they're said to be under the altar, right? Immediately we go into the Lord's presence. Whether we die in the church age, whether we are martyred tribulation saints, whatever, we go immediately under the altar in the presence of the Lord. And so they were offered, if you will, one writer said, as a sacrifice, and now are fully redeemed and indicated by their white robes. Notice verse 11, if you will. And it says, and the white robes are given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should be rest for a little while, little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I mean, a lot of people can't grasp that about God, but there are people that are appointed to die in the tribulation period who are believers. Not the church, but they got saved after the church was raptured. And they didn't take the mark of the beast here. Their resurrection has not taken place yet, and it will take place at the end of the tribulation to enter into the millennial kingdom in Revelation 20, verse 4. Now, we'll stop right there, but that's probably enough to struggle with already, but it's not pleasant reading. It's not pleasant interpretation to know what's coming, right? And it's sad, all the many people that have stuck their thumb in the eye of God will one day pay the ultimate price. They'll pay the piper, is what I like to say, for their rejection of Jesus Christ. No invitation tonight. Father, we thank you that we can go back to the future and we can read about, study what's going to happen in the future. What lies ahead for this world that has rejected Christ, that has decided for every man to do what's right in their own eye, and thumb their nose at Christianity and at Christ, and the church, the Word of God. Because one day they'll realize they've been mistaken. And they'll stand there at the great white throne judgment. It'll be too late. We, the church, will already be through the judgment seat of Christ right after the rapture. But they'll be appearing at the great white throne and be cast into the devil's hell, intended for the devil and his angels. But many have rejected Christ, and they'll have to pay the ultimate price one day. And that alone should motivate us to be a witness. So, Father, tonight, protect us as we go our way to our homes until we meet again. As we begin the study in Philippians on Wednesday night, we pray for good attendance. We thank you for how you blessed our church and how you blessed our people. And Lord, we do the most with what you've given us. And so, Father, I just thank you for that. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. All right, you're dismissed.